Tonight, I'm continuing my teaching on angels. But before I do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come giving you praise, giving you honor, and giving you glory once more. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here among us. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for everything, Lord, that you do for us daily. Father, we just magnify your name. We glorify you and we exalt you. We ask, Lord, that your blessing, Lord, will be on this lesson. I ask, Father, Lord, that you would give me utterance to deliver it. Give your people, Lord, hearing ears and a receiving heart. Lord, cause this word, Lord, to fall on good ground and bring forth fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for those of you who weren't here last week, a really, really quick review on Angels Part 1. Last week, we studied that there are different types of angels, and they have different ranks and assignments. They interact with us, and sometimes on a daily basis. I gave an example of a friend of mine who had direct encounter with an angel while they were on their way to Oklahoma. We also noted that angels are not those cute, chubby little beings that we see. You know, the ones that float around, you know, with wings. Most of the time, they look like men. They look like us. Angels have the ability to take whatever form they chose. Now, I was debating whether or not to tell this. Some of you probably heard it before. But, you know, when I was... I don't know how old I was, probably about 12 or so. In the little village where I live, the fair came to town. And back in those days when the fair came to town, it was a big deal. And so this relative of my dad, she was in charge of the fair. And I was at her house, and she gave me these two huge plants to take to the fairgrounds. I mean, they were big, you know. They were probably about this tall, and there were two of them, and they were heavy. And she lived probably about 3 miles, I think, you know, from our house to the fairground. And I had absolutely no intentions of making two trips. So I decided I was going to carry both, you know, one in each hand. It was a hot day. It was probably around, I guess, well, high noon, you know. Back in Guyana, around that time, it's hot. I mean, it is hot. And so I was walking. At first, I was doing really well. But as I got started to get closer to the fairgrounds, you know, those plants were heavy. And I got really tired. And I began to wish that I had someone to help me carry one of the plants. And actually, I spoke it out. I remember saying, I sure wish I had somebody to help me carry this plant, at least one of these plants. So I took a shortcut. There was a school, and I took a shortcut through the school grounds, and I had to go through the cemetery. Now, the cemetery, you know, is people don't really like to walk through the cemetery. There's some superstition connected with it. So I remember standing there at the edge of the grounds, and I surveyed the place really good to make sure there was no one there. And I mean, it was empty. Only thing there were a bunch of tombstones and me. So I started, you know, going through the cemetery. And while I was walking, all of a sudden I heard a voice, and I looked, and there was a girl about my age standing there beside me. And before I could say anything, she said, "Let me help you." And she took the plant from me. And she immediately engaged me in conversation. Now I'm talking with her. Don't ask me what we talk about, because I can't remember. But you know, in the inside of me, there was something about this little girl, and I kept thinking, where did she come from? You know, she wasn't here. You know, when I came through the sun, where did she just come from? But she just kept talking, and then we were walking. And so we crossed over the highway into the fairgrounds, and I'm talking with her. And I'm telling her, I'm supposed to put these pots here. And I, you know, because my cousin had told me exactly where to put them. So I placed the pots, and I turned, and the plant was there, and the girl was gone. Now, there was no fear, but I did wonder, where did she go? You know, she just poof, just disappeared. And over the years, from time to time, you know, I thought about her, and there is no doubt in my mind that that was an angel. You know, she came in the form of a girl my own age, so she wouldn't scare me, you know. And you know, they interact with us. A lot of times we don't know. At the church, my other church where I went to years ago, our pianist told me a story. Her husband had passed away, and she said she lived way out in the country, somewhere in boondocks, in the boonies somewhere. And you know, those country folks, they have a lot of land, so the houses aren't very close together. And her husband died, and she said, "Jem, I was so scared. I never used to sleep at night because I was so afraid that somebody was going to break into my house and attack me." She wasn't used to being by herself. You know, it was always her and her husband. And so she said one day, one night, she said it was about 6:30, the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, "Go and look out this particular window." And when she went and she looked, at the very edge of her property, she saw a tall man. She said, "I've never seen anybody that tall." He was dressed, now get this, a loincloth. I thought, that's a strange get up, you know? And he was standing there with a long sword in his hand. And she said, the Lord said, "As long as he's here, you never have to worry. That's your angel."
Right.
Any person who was dumb enough to, you know, to cross her property had to get past him. And she said from that moment on, she was never, ever afraid. She slept like a baby. You know, God put an angel there, and he allowed her to see that angel. Now, he was probably a warrior angel. You know, he had a sword. They're different types. All of God's children have angels. Every single one of us have angels assigned to us. They work to protect us, you know, to help us. I believe they arrange situations and circumstances for us, for our benefit. Genesis 24, 1 through 7. "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites amongst whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country, unto my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven," now pay attention to this verse, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee. And thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." You heard what Abraham said? He said, God shall send his angel before, ahead of time. Don't worry. You know, a lot of times we worry about stuff. God's got it. Our angel is working on our behalf. Let's jump down to verse 12. I'm going to be doing a lot of scriptures tonight. "And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and shew kindness unto my servant Abraham." Now, this is when he got to his destination, okay, this servant. And so he's praying this prayer. "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, beheld his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Now, isn't it amazing how we pray for stuff? We ask God to do certain things for us. And then when he does it, you know, we're wondering, you know. Isn't this what he asked God for? The damsel that is going to, you know, draw, give me water and draw for my camels, let her be the one. And that's exactly what happened. And he is standing there wondering whether God prospered his way. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. That's heavy, let me tell you. And said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. Now God sent his angel ahead of time to prepare the way for this servant, because Abraham said that he would. We shall have what we say. He said, God shall send his angel. He spoke it, you know, and that's exactly what happened. When his servant arrived at his destination, this girl came out, Rebekah, the very one that Isaac ended up marrying. Now, you know that was no coincidence. A lot of times you hear people say, oh, it was a coincidence, oh, I got lucky. When it comes to the people of God, there is no such thing as luck or coincidence. God orders our steps. Now, when we ask him, he does. He uses angels to make connections for us. God uses angels to make connections for us. The angels know how to go and how to rearrange things, you know? And the angels know how to close doors. He knows how to open certain doors so that you will go the path that he wants you to go. Let's look at Acts 10. Like I said, we're going to be doing a lot of reading. And you know, when I'm done and you guys get home, I want you to read these scriptures for yourself. Just don't take my word for it. Go home and read and see if it's really there. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of a band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. You know, the angels knows our names. Cornelius. And when he looked in him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy arms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa, and they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feared God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them, and he called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. This guy Cornelius went in and got his whole family, everybody. They were all assembled at his house. Verse 28, and he said unto them, "Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God had shewed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore, for what intent ye have sent for me?" And Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy arms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of thee." Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." In this case, this was a messenger angel that came, you know, to Cornelius. He brought a message. God used this angel to make a connection. Connections are made all the time. That's why there are no coincidences or luck, you know? God is always working behind the scenes for us, you know, to make connections that we need. God will make connections that we cannot make. He will, you know, his angels are there to rearrange situations and circumstances if need be, to allow you to be in the right place at the right time. You know, I remember 9/11, I heard tons of stories of people who were supposed to be on that particular plane. One lady said, or man, they missed the flight. Their taxi broke down or something broke down, whatever transportation they had, and they missed their flight. And they were supposed to make some, they were supposed to be at a particular place to have a very important meeting, and losing their flight was not an option. Their job was at stake here, you know? And you know how some bosses get, they can be very unreasonable. But had he not had that incident, he would have been on that flight, and he no doubt would have been dead. Another person said they woke up and they just kept getting this impression to take another flight. Angels will give us impressions. You know, you hear people say, "Mike, I had this gut feeling," you know, or "I had a feeling," "I had a mind," you know. A lot of times that's the angel talking to us, you know, trying to get us to do what's beneficial for us. And so this lady kept getting this impression to take another flight. And she did. And boy, was she happy. She would have been on that flight that went down. And there were many stories like that. One person I heard was, he was at work, and he just had this unction, you know, to get up and go outside. And he said, the elevator or something wasn't working. He had to climb go down a whole bunch of stairs. But boy, he did. And was he glad he did? When the plane hit, he was not in it. You know, angels are all around us. You know, they're interacting with us. We just don't know because we don't see them. They'd probably scare us half to death if we did see them, especially if we saw them as they are, you know. Let's jump down to verse 44. So Peter arrives, and he talks to them, you know, he preaches to them. That's what he does. And this is what happened. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard him speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received of the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. God is no respecter of persons. You know, back in those days, the Jews and the Gentiles, they had their little, you know, thing going on. Pretty much, you know, like we have stuff going on today. No, this one, you know, this race feel they're better than that one. And, you know, this bunch of people over here, you know, look, you know, it's crazy. But they had their little thing too. And so it was unlawful for a Jew to enter the house of a Gentile and, you know, associate with them, eat with them, and all this sort of stuff. But God is no respecter of persons. He sure did put an end to that when, you know, he had Peter to preach in Cornelius' house, and he used an angel to do it. Now, today, the Lord, you know, we have the Holy Spirit. Back then, the Holy Spirit, you know, he was given, but Jesus had just died and departed, you know, and angels were very much, you know, interacting with people, you know, talking to them, you know, appearing to them. And so God used this angel because he wanted the Gentiles to come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He wanted them to come in under the umbrella of salvation. So we see that angels, like it says in Hebrews 1:14, they're ministering spirits. They minister to us in different ways, you know. Now we're going to look at another way angels minister to us. Matthew 26:53-54. This is when Judas betrayed Jesus, and a great multitude came to arrest Jesus. We're going to read from verse 51, sorry. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest's ear, the high priest, and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Now, if I remember correctly, a legion is 6,000. That's a lot of angels. And Jesus said, if I ask my Father, he'll send me 12. Now, 6 times 12, that's 72, right? 72,000 angels. Picture 72,000 angels coming to your aid. That's a lot of angels. Jesus said, I could pray my Father, and he can send me 72,000 angels. So you don't need to chop off nobody's ear, you know? God has a lot of angels. 2 Kings 19:32-36. This hidden king, Sennacherib, he was he was the king of Assyria, and he came against the people of God and railed against them. And he boasted about all the nations and the kings that he had defeated. And then he had the nerve to threaten King Hezekiah. You know, sometimes when people get a little bit of success, you know, they get proud. And like my mom would say, they get stupid. He got stupid. He didn't just rail against Hezekiah. He railed against the God of Hezekiah. And he said, look at all these kings that I've defeated. Look at all these people, you know, these nations, you know, that I overcame. What make you think that your God is going to be able to deliver you from me? Such nerve. Now, I'm not going to read everything, but reading from verse 32, therefore, you know, God heard it. You know, when people say stuff like that, don't think it skips God's ears. We all know the story about the Titanic. The guy who built the Titanic said it was such an invincible ship that not even God himself could sink it. And we know how that ended. This king did the same thing. You know, I've defeated all these nations and all these powerful kings that are mightier than you. And I'm going to do this to you and I'm going to do that to you. And God heard. And God sent the prophet Isaiah. Verse 32, therefore thus said the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city nor shoot one arrow there. Nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, said the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night, there again is an angel, that the angel of the Lord went out, the angel, one angel this time, and smote in the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000. That's 185,000. 185,000 people, one angel killed. Oh my God, that's a powerful angel. 185,000. That was a huge army. You know, that was not no third class army. You have 185,000 soldiers coming against you? Gee, I'd be afraid. But God sent out one angel, just one angel, and he slew 185,000 people. That's how powerful angels are. Hezekiah and his people, they were delivered from this pompous king by one angel. This was obviously a warrior angel. Yeah. King Sennacherib, is that his name? He had to learn the hard way. Don't shoot off your mouth against the people of God and their God. You know, when people come against us, you know, we don't have to be afraid. God's got our back. He has ways of delivering us. You know, angels, I remember, I hadn't thought about this in a long time until I was preparing this lesson. My husband came home one day, and this was when he was still in the army, and he had a really bad case of the flu. So I had found out about this pharmacy somewhere in Winton Road that sold the kinds of stuff, you know, that I was used to. And so I left the two kids at home, Petal and Michael. I said, you stay here with your dad while I go to this pharmacy to get some stuff for your dad. And when I got back home, my son had a big red bruise around his neck. And my husband, he was almost beside himself. He said he was asleep. He fell asleep because he was sick. You know, he came home sick, burning up with the fever. And he felt like somebody just woke him up, shook him. And he woke up, and when he turned, my son, I don't know what got into that child's head. You know, we had these Venetian blinds, you know, and they used to have long strings. Michael decided to take one of those strings and put it over his head and then jump off the bed. And my Petal was standing. I said, well, what happened? How, you know, what was Petal doing? He said, she was just standing there looking at him, and he was dangling, you know, like, you know, he was about 3 at the time. And so, you know, he was just dangling like this. Now, can you imagine if my husband hadn't, if he hadn't woke up and something had happened to that child? You know, the cops would have come, and you know they would have said he did it. Mm-hmm. But God, his angel woke my husband up because he was completely out. And he was able to save our son. Yeah. Needless to say, every Venetian blind in our house, the thing went up. I decided, no, this he's not. I don't know why he did it. You know, kids sometimes, they do the strangest things. Yeah. And, you know, and God had his angel there to protect him. And while I'm talking about Michael, you know, right now he's not exactly walking with the Lord like he should, but this was probably 2 years ago. He was in an accident. Well, before he got into the accident, I had dropped Matthew off. Matthew had a tournament out of town, and I dropped him off, and it was about 5:30 in the morning, so I'm on my way home. It's going about 6 o'clock, and the Holy Spirit said to me, pray for Michael. So I started praying for Michael. About 3-4 hours later, I found out he was in a terrible car accident. Some lady ran a traffic light and T-boned his car, spun his car around, the car behind him hit him again. But, you know, Michael walked away with just a few bumps and bruises. The ambulance came, they had to take his girlfriend to the hospital. She had to have surgery and screws and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it was bad. She had months of therapy. But Michael went back to work the next day. You know. Now, he's not walking like he should be. But, you know, God, he said he's not willing that any should perish. It's not what he said. So he had me to intercede for him. And I believe, you know, that in my intercession, I must have asked God to extend my hedge around my son. You know, God will do that. You know, if somebody asks him. You know, when you're not walking with God like you should, God is not obligated to protect you. Right. Now, everybody may not agree with that, but it's true. You know, when you are outside God's sphere of protection, he is not obligated when you get out there. But if one of his people, one of his children, ask him to, you know, to help this person, he will. And it was the most amazing thing that my son was able to go back to work the very next day. His girlfriend had to have surgery. She had therapy, months of therapy, racked up thousands and thousands of dollars in hospital bills. You know, it don't take much. And Michael, you know, he just had a little soreness and maybe a little bruise, you know, from being jerked. But that was it. The car was total. Car was total. That was supernatural protection. God protected my son. He had an angel that shielded him, right? Now, the Lord didn't tell me to pray for her. He just said, pray for Michael because he's my son. You know, our children, they're important to us. And anything that's important to us is important to God. And God knew it would have really crushed me had I lost my son. You know, parents are not supposed to bury their children. It's supposed to be the other way around. It happens, but thank God I did not have to experience that. You know, I believe that as I was praying, God, you know, probably sent even my angel ahead of, you know, this accident to protect him because somebody prayed. That's why it's important when the when you know God lays somebody on your heart, pray for them. Because you never know your prayer could save their life. You know, when God brings someone to your heart, don't just say, oh, you know, this is what triggered a memory or that. Just pray. Even if you think it is, pray. Because you can deliver that person, you know, from destruction. I don't know why I brought that up, but getting back to our lesson. 185,000 people, 185,000 soldiers died in one night from one angel. Throughout the Bibles, there are numerous examples of angels interacting with us, delivering messages. In Judges chapter 13, an angel told Samson's parent of his birth. You know, Samson's mom was barren. She couldn't have any kids. This angel appeared and said, you're going to have a son. And, you know, and they did. In Daniel chapter 10, an angel came to David and gave him revelation about the vision that he had but didn't understand. Luke 1, 10 through 13. And a whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. This is when the priest, Zacharias, was performing his priestly duties. And this angel appeared unto him, the angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said, fear not. Notice when every angels appear, they always say, fear not. Fear not, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. The angel brought a message. The mother of Jesus, Mary, we all know the story. The angel Gabriel came and told her she was going to have a son, and his name was going to be called Jesus. Luke 1, 26 through 32. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. You know, and so he said, when she saw in verse 29, she was troubled at the saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And we know that she had a baby boy, and his name was Jesus, and he is our Savior. Angels are all around us. Every day, they're there. They're protecting us. You know, we don't know it. How many times have you gone out on the road and almost got in an accident, and then at the last minute, something happened and saved you? That was an angel. Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You know, we have to be careful how we treat people. I told a story last week about Jesse Duplantis. You know, he saw this person, then this old haggard out person, and the person said, help me, and he said, I'll come right back, because he had something he had to do. And he, you know, he didn't. And then as soon as he turned the corner, he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, you just missed it. That was an angel. He didn't think it was. You know, I also shared about that strange lady that came and told me she was hungry and then she left. I've often wondered if she was an angel too, maybe just, you know, testing me to see what I was going to do. Angels are all around us. They're probably even here in this church. You know, in intercessory, we've had some things happen that we knew were angels. I personally heard a man praying beside Pastor one day. It was just me and him and Miss Pauline. And he had locked the door. And I didn't see him get up to go open no door. So when I heard his voice, I thought, you know, who? I opened my eyes to see who had come in. There was no one there. But I heard you know, somebody praying beside him. That was an angel, you know. So I just want to encourage you tonight. Like the scripture says in Hebrews, to be careful how we treat people. Be careful, you know, never get in too much of a hurry that you can't stop and help one, someone, or say hello, or give them a hug, or say a kind word, because you could be entertaining an angel. And Deborah will continue this next week.